Ready? All right, come on, praise God. And so life choices, choose today. The choices that we make every day are the foundations of our future. You know that? The thing that you choose to do today is going to affect something in your life that will change your tomorrow. It's cause and effect. So if you choose Christ, guess what? It's going to have a snowball effect. If you choose the flesh or the world, guess what? It's going to have a snowball effect in your life. The beliefs that we have today will form the convictions that we have tomorrow. So what you believe today from the Word of God, well, actually, the more you believe it, the stronger you believe it, will make a conviction. Do you know the difference between a conviction and a belief? Okay, use this analogy a lot of times here about the speed limit sign. You can believe that the speed limit's 35, but until you obey that, it doesn't become a conviction. I am so convinced that the speed limit is 30, 35 miles an hour through here, guess what I drive? 30 or 35 miles. If it says 55, I'm convinced, and it's a conviction to me that I want to obey the law, because guess what I don't want? A ticket, right? I don't want something that's going to affect me adversely in my wallet and in my time. And if you have enough tickets, guess what? They'll take your driver's license, right? And so you want to make a firm, sound choice today and build that into a habit that will affect your tomorrows. God says, choose you today whom you're going to serve. God wants us to make choices that lean toward Him, that would change our beliefs into convictions that we might not sin against the God who saved us. And so it tells us in Galatians, let me go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I thank you so much, Lord, that you have given us choices. I praise you, Lord God, that you have given us a free will. And I ask, Father, that you would move in such a way today in this body that you would help us to choose you. That you would help us to choose righteousness, that you would put a desire in our hearts that we would want the very Word of God living and breathing and making differences in our lives, make our convictions concrete in your Word to glorify you in all things said and done. And we thank you for that, Father, and we want to praise you. Amen. Amen. And so it tells us in Galatians chapter 6, verses 7 through 10, Paul writing to the churches of Galatia says, be not deceived. In other words, don't be an idiot. Don't be fooled. Is it easy to be fooled? It is easy to be fooled unless you know what? That word, unless you know the truth. See, if you know the truth, it makes it less likely that you're fooled. So if I tell you, right, now, if I was just to come off the wall and tell you, I'm a rocket scientist. Right? Y'all know better than that. I'm not even a rock scientist, right? I see you laughing in the back. Thank you very much. So anyhow, if I tell you I'm a rocket scientist, you would know that that's not true, right? You've probably seen my handwriting. You've seen some of my mathematical skills. Remember, 1 and 1 are 11, right? So you've seen those things. So you know for pretty sure that I am not a rocket scientist because of some of the things that I do, right? The way that I talk, stuff like that. See, don't be deceived. Don't let somebody deceive you. Don't be fooled. God, you can never fool, right? You might fool me. I might fool you, but you can never fool God. So it tells us here in Galatians chapter 6, verses 7 through 10, be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that he shall also reap. For he that soweth of the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall reap everlasting life. Let us not be weary in well-doing, verse 9, let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season or due time we will reap if we faint not. Verse 10 says, as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them of the household of faith. Here, Paul is writing to these group of churches in Galatia, and he's saying, listen, guys, you need to start making better choices. You need to start making choices one way or the other. Either God's not mocked. See, you're not fooling God. You might, in your mind's eye, in the way that you think, in the way that you operate, you might think that you're fooling somebody. You really might think that something is changing around you that's not really changing. So, well, what's the the definition of insanity. Doing the same thing over and over and over and expecting a different result, right? That's crazy. So you do the same thing over and over and over and you never change the result. See, you're reaping what you're sowing. So you put bad seed out over and over and over, guess what you're going to get? Bad crop, right? So how do you, if you don't like the crop that you're getting, how do you change? You got to change your seed bag. You got to change what you're starting out with. Change what you're starting out with. Start to make different choices in the beginning of what's happening that it will produce a different result at the end of the season, right? So if you don't want to grow corn in this field, would you plant corn seed there? Well, of course not. If you wanted to grow tomatoes, you wouldn't put corn seed down and expect tomatoes to come out, right? So you need to make a correction in the way that you're planting. You need to make a correction. If you want to have a righteous outcome, would you plant unrighteous seed in the field? No. If you want to be righteous at the end, then you need to start putting righteousness in the very soil of your heart even now. He's telling, it's a, the choice of seeds that you choose are huge. I was trying to think of a bigger word, but there is no bigger word. It's huge, Rochester. It is really huge. But see, we have a free will in Christ. God doesn't force us to put righteous seed down. He gives us a choice. You can do the things of the Spirit or you can do the things of the flesh. Amen. If you do the things of the flesh, you're going to reap the things of the flesh, which is corruption. And in Galatians, that same book in chapter 5, if you'll flip your Bibles open there, I think it's great if we use the Bible. Or some of y'all turn on your computers where you can find the Bible. You know, amen. And so it says in chapter 5 of Galatians, verse 16, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit." Now, that's choosing the Spirit. Walking in the Spirit is a choice. I've got to choose to walk in the Spirit. I've got to choose this. I've got to want the Spirit in my life in such a way that I choose to walk in it. Because you can walk in the flesh or you can walk in the Spirit, right? It's all about life choices. "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh." Well, that's a great promise. Amen? I don't want to fulfill the lust of the flesh. So I must then do what? Walk in the Spirit. All right, kind of simple, isn't it? So walk in the Spirit, and you'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. We can actually put wars in there. See, the flesh, your basic desires and instincts are against God. Your flesh, it is a war against the Spirit, and the Spirit of God is against the flesh. And these, they're contrary to one another. They're like oil and water. They just don't mix. That's why Jesus said in the Revelation, "I would prefer you be hot or cold. Come on, make up your mind. I would rather you either be completely against me or completely for me." But if you're trying to walk that road, that half and half road, You can't do it. He says, you're like a vomit to me. You're nasty in my mouth, and I'll spew you out. I'll spit you out of my mouth. If you think that you can be in the world and in the Spirit at the same time, you're fooling yourself, because you're not fooling God at all. God says you need to choose today who you're going to serve. You're either going to serve the flesh or you're going to serve the Spirit. Choose today who you're going to walk with. You're going to walk with God, or you're going to walk with a God of your own making. Big G or little G? The little G God is going to send you right to hell. The big G God is going to bring you to Christ Jesus, and through him you'll gain salvation. Salvation will give you life eternal with him. It's a process. If we continually seek after God, God's going to continually change our lives little bits, little increments at a time. That means in the morning when I rise, right, first thing that I want in my hand is not necessarily the cup of coffee. It's not necessarily Facebook. It's not necessarily any other book or the newspaper, whatever you want to read. My personal first choice in the morning is the Bible. I get up before I get a sip of coffee. I mean, even before I brush my nasty teeth in the morning, I come down, throw on my pants, my shoes, stuff like that. But I come down out of the bedroom. First thing I do is I sit down at the table. I open up my Bible. I pray and I read. Why? Because I want to battle my flesh all day long. And that's a choice I make. Now, I can't make that choice for you, but I can tell you, if you make that choice in your daily walk, if you do that every day, you will grow stronger in the spirit, and your flesh will become more and more underneath you and not ruling over you. All right, he tells us here in Galatians, now in verse 18 of chapter 5, but if you be led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. Well, praise God for that. I don't want to be under the law. The law brings death, right? But the Spirit brings life. And we're going to talk about that because Jesus says, I give you life and that more abundantly. We'll get into that scripture in a moment. But if you're led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. Now, the works of the flesh, they're manifest. They're these. Now, these are all choices, okay? You can choose not to commit adultery, right? You don't have to. You can choose not to commit fornication. Because the works of the flesh, they're these. They're adultery and fornication and uncleanness, lasciviousness, which is lewdness, okay? Idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, contentions and jealousies, wrath, strife, seditions, hearsays, envies, murders, drunkenness, revelries, such alike. All right, now, hold on. What I think the Spirit is telling us here in the church today is we need to wake up, start making better choices. We don't have to choose walking in the flesh. And I just went through the list of the flesh, right? And you might be saying, well, I don't commit adultery. You know, I'm pretty clean. I don't even commit fornication. Unclean thoughts. How about you commit those? Oh, yeah. Amen. Raise your hands, boys, right? Because it happens. Ladies, too. So unclean thoughts. But you, those are choices. Do you know you don't have to go down that road? Do you know when that thought comes up that you can stop that through the power of the Holy Spirit? You can say, no, Satan, I'm not doing, no, not Satan. Let's not give that the power to the devil because that's not the devil's power. You have power over that yourself. All right? You say, no, I don't want to do that. I don't want to be covetous. I don't want to be lewd. I don't want to be rude. I don't want to be nasty. So my choice is to walk in the Spirit. Amen? And the love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, self-control, gentleness. Those are the fruits of the... I choose, instead of going the way of my flesh, which is warring against my spirit, I choose the other side. I choose to walk with God. I choose to read His Word. I choose to apply that Word to my life in a real personal way. But see, that's your free will. I can't make you do that. And Jesus won't make you do that. Did you know that? That God is not going to force you to walk in righteousness? He's not going to say, you're going to walk in righteousness or I'm going to rip your arms off. All right, yeah, I'm going to beat you to a pulp if you don't walk in righteousness. No. He says you have a choice. You're going to reap what you sow. Now, these are truths, all right? You can either walk in faith, walk in the Spirit, or walk in the flesh. That choice is yours. Now, if you walk in the flesh, it tells us, if you walk in the flesh in 21, in the envies and the murderings and the reveries and such like, which I've told you before, as I also tell you in times past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. So if you choose to walk in the flesh, guess what you're forfeiting? The kingdom of God. If you choose to walk in the lust of the flesh, then what you're giving up is heaven. Is it worth it? Well, so what you're doing, you're saying, well, God, I would rather be pleasing my body right now on the earth for the 50, 100 years that you live. I don't know how long you're going to live, but you're going to live some, right? And so we have to make a choice. Am I going to live for the present or am I going to live for the eternity? Do I really want to have an inheritance in the kingdom of God? The choice is yours. You can have it. It is available to you. It's a choice you need to make every day, every moment of every day. It tells us there in the same scripture that the fruit of the Spirit, the payment of the Spirit, walking in the Spirit, this is what you get. All right, now if you walk in the lust of the flesh, what you don't get is the kingdom of heaven. All right, now if you walk in the Spirit, you're going to have love. Who here wants a little more love? Amen? How about a little bit of joy? Wouldn't you like to have a little joy? How about a little bit of peace in this world that's so full of unrest and unpeace? Amen? I like those things. Those are great things. The way that I'm going to achieve having love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faithfulness, meekness, and temperance, where there is no such law, is to choose to walk in the Spirit every day. But it's a physical choice. And see, it doesn't start out like this big, huge thing. See, sin never starts out. Divorce and adultery and things like that don't start out like you wake up one day and say, I don't love this person no more, I'm leaving. Starts out small. In fact, in the Song of Solomon, it says that the small foxes, the little foxes, they come around and they destroy the vine. And what the little foxes do is they come into a vineyard, right? And those they don't try to jump up and get the grapes. They just eat the bark right around the bottom of the grapevine. And when they eat the bark all the way around the bottom of the grapevine, guess what happens to the grapevine? It dies. So making a choice to run the little foxes off of your life. So I don't know what a fox is in your life. You know, I don't know what those things are in your life that's calling you, dragging you away from Christ. But if we scare those things away, if we choose not to allow the foxes into the vineyard, then our grapes will grow and they'll grow pleasantly before the Lord. But we got to chase away the little foxes. There's a song by Casting Crowns, and I just wrote the chorus down here. And he says, it's a slow fade when you give yourself away. It's a slow fade when black and white it turns to gray. When thoughts invade, there's choices made. There's a price to be paid when you give yourself away. People never crumble in a day. It's a slow fade. See, when we decide to do the small things that bring us away from Christ, I choose today not to pray. I know the Lord woke me up and he says I needed to pray. But you know, I have a very busy schedule, right? And so my schedule is so full, I'm not going to pray this morning. Have you ever done that? Amen, I have. I'll raise my hand. I'm not standing here in judgment of you. I'm standing here as a brother with you, living in the same world that you're living in, the same reality that we have. Okay, so I've had that problem. I get up and sometimes I wake up and boy, the first thing I want to do is jump out, get in my truck, and do the thing that I need to do for the day. And I forget God. And I'll tell you, anytime, every time I do that, things come up as a reminder in my day. You should have prayed. Curtis, you should have spent 5 minutes in my word this morning before you got in your car. You know, just spend a little bit of time with me, Curtis, and these things would have, not that you wouldn't have faced them, but you would have handled them much differently. See, God wants us to make the choices that will help us in our future. And if we choose Christ, if we choose to walk in the Spirit and not in the flesh, it will help us not just now, but in the future. And see, it starts out with the small foxes eating around the base of the vine. It starts out with the small things. Instead of spending an hour in prayer, I'm going to spend an hour watching The Days of My Life or General Hospital. What's on soap? Does anyone know? NCIS, okay, because I'm guilty of that one, okay? Instead of spending that time with God, I would rather lay in the bed and watch something stupid on TV, right? I'd rather watch them chasing an oblong ball from one side of the field to another. Or a round ball, if you're a soccer fan. Football, real football, right? Amen? There's football and then there's football. One ball you play with your feet, the other one you don't. I don't know why they call American football football, because it has so little to do with feet, right? Now, soccer is football, because you use your feet. You can't use anyhow. I digress. Amen? God is asking us to make a choice. God is offering us an abundant life. He's offering us abundance of love and joy and peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness and faith, meekness and temperance, where there is no such law against those things. He's offering that to us, but we as a people group must choose to walk in the Spirit. We got to choose to walk in the Spirit from the very onset of the day. I want an abundant life. I really do. I want more love. I want more joy, more peace. I want those things in my life. But to achieve those things in my life, I must die to my flesh and walk in the Spirit. Because if I fulfill the lust of the flesh, the joy of the Spirit won't come. So we must choose every day, every moment of every day, Christ and Christ alone. But if we choose not to, and it is our free choice, all we're really doing is hurting ourselves. We have wars, we have angers and fusses and people leaving the church, stuff like that. And it's not just this church, but it's all churches around America. Folks are making a mass exodus towards the world right now in the Christian Church of America. The reason that they're doing that is because they're not having it their way. You know, it ain't my way. I don't like it, so I'm leaving. I'm going to find another place that will make it my way. Well, the Bible doesn't say that it is your way. So if you do your way, which is the flesh, that's going to be the adultery, all the selfishness that it talks about in the first part of Galatians chapter 5. That's the way of the world. God says, in John chapter 10:10, Jesus himself says about the abundant life, he gives two different contrasting opinions here. There's a thief that comes, but he only comes to steal and to kill and destroy. Guess what that is? Now, you say it's the devil. I say it's your flesh. Your flesh comes, but your flesh wants to separate you from God because each and every one of you are a sinner at heart. You know that? How many are sinners? All. How many have come short of the glory of God? All. How many seek after God? None. All right? None of us do. But God says if we make a choice to seek after Him, He will give us an abundant life. But if we follow our flesh, if we follow our own heart, your own heart is so good and pure and honest, right? No, that's not what the Bible says. It is wicked and deceitful and rotten to its very core. So don't follow your heart, because your heart will follow the flesh, and your flesh will ruin your inheritance that you have in heaven. And this is for the church. It's not for the unbeliever. And I think the folks that are sitting here or folks that listen to this over the internet, y'all are Christian. Amen? You have professed Jesus Christ, all right? You say that you belong to God. But unfortunately, so many of us in the church today are walking in the flesh and not in the Spirit. And we're wondering why we're having such hard times in our life. We're wondering why things are so crummy. You know, and often it's not that God is doing things to hurt us, but we've planted the seeds of rebellion, and we're just reaping the fruit thereof. We've put out bad seed. We chose wrong 50 years ago, all right? Let me put it this way. Not that God won't forgive and replace that, but I have grandchildren that are not of my flesh and blood, okay? They don't have my last name, all right? That's because when I was young, I chose to marry outside of the will of God, right? I chose to marry of my flesh, all right? All right, we had kids, right? And then as I came to Christ, she didn't want anything to do with me, and she opted to leave. And because she opted to leave, I had to let her leave, right? There's nothing I can do about it. You can't lock them up in the basement. Right, you can't force them to stay. So she chose to leave. And when she left, she took the kids with her. Well, life goes on. I get remarried years later. My wife has three sons. I have two sons. We've been married for 17, almost 18 years now. And so we have grandkids from those children, right? Well, my grandkids are the younger ones, and each one of them come to me with this question. Grandpa, why isn't your name my last name? You're my grandpa, right? Why aren't we the same? Why aren't we the same? Because sin separated what needed to be joined in Christ long, long time ago. Amen. So now, it's not that I'm not saved. It's not that I'm not forgiven. But there are repercussions of a seed that was sown when I was 17, 18 years old. That's when I got married. I was 18. Right? So the seed that was sown then is still producing a repercussion now in my life. And I'm 50 plus. Okay? So I planted a bad seed. It came to a crop. Now God has replaced what the canker worm has destroyed. I got grandkids that love me on both sides. all right? But the ones that I'm close to, that I live in the same, and my other kids are in Alabama, I'm in New York, right? So there's 1,000 miles, 1,500 miles difference. So I'm really close to these children up here, and they love me, but they know that there's something wrong. You know, there's something wrong. And they call me Grandpa. I'm not saying that there's a love problem there, but there's a real difference, okay? And the difference is that sin came in, and it's produced a crop over my life. My own flesh and blood, my boys, don't follow the Lord. Now, they know I'm a pastor and I preach righteousness, but they don't walk with God. They choose not to walk with God. And my oldest son threw it up in my face the other day. Well, remember what you did when you were 20 years old. Yes, son, I do remember what, and I regret it. You know, I do. But you don't have to make that same mistake. Make better choices than what I made. Anyhow, these are all about choices. See, the thief comes but to steal. See, when I gave into my flesh and drugs and alcohol and my first wife, all that kind of stuff, that was all my flesh. And my flesh, that thief, he came, he stole, he killed, and he destroyed. That was his job. This described my life and the fullness of life that was stolen, but God replaced it, and I'm not putting blame on anybody. I made some bonehead mistakes when I was a kid. Who is anybody else done that? Amen? Yeah? All right. Well, you can get past that. God has better plans for your future. But you need to start choosing to walk in the Spirit. See, when you stop walking in the flesh, and that was my problem back then, you stop walking in the flesh, you start walking in the Spirit. God didn't start really blessing my life, and not financially or nothing like that, but just making me happier. Making me a non-alcoholic, hey, I'm happy, I'm sober, right? Making me not who I was is when I decided to walk in the Spirit and not fulfill the lust of the flesh. When I made that personal choice, and it's a personal choice for you, when you make that choice to walk with God, things change. All of a sudden, I have peace in the midst of turmoil. Back when I first, before I really got saved, if you made me mad, I would punch you right in the nose. I wouldn't think nothing about it. You say you want to fight. The fight was on, right? It was then. Nowadays, it's not that way. I'm not a striker anymore. I'm a pretty much peaceful guy. I don't try to hurt anybody any longer. See, that thief that used to rule my life, take away my peace, my joy and love, he's bound up and put away because I walk in the power of the Spirit, and the power of the Spirit has bound him under the love of Christ, and I'm no longer ensnared by him anymore. Amen? And I'm talking about the person who I am on the inside, the sinner that lives in me, the flesh that works. So today, if you decide to change, you start to walking, making godly choices, this choice, it will lead you to life. And the seeds that you will start planting today, if you would only choose Jesus, it would bring a much better crop than your past. He'll bring that abundant life. The other part of John 10:10 says, Jesus said, I have come that you might have life and that you have that life more abundantly. I tell you, since I started walking in the Spirit, I have much more abundance of life. I really do. There's so much more joy, so much more goodness, so much more love, so much more long-suffering, so much more peace in my chaotic surroundings. Why? Because I choose Christ. I choose to walk with Jesus. I choose the Bible way and not my way. Oh, and when you make those choices, the beauty that He gives for the ashes of your life, isn't that beautiful? I love that God gives me beauty for my ashes, because my ashes are a mess. Anybody here ever play with ashes? I mean, like you ever have to clean out your fireplace or something like that? Isn't it dirty? It's nasty. Even if you try not to get it on you, you get it all over you, right? So God will take those ashes of your yesteryear, if you'll choose to walk in the Spirit, and He'll take those ashes of your life and He'll give you something beautiful. Amen? And He will do that. And I'm a testimony for it. We can get into that a little bit later on at a different sermon. It tells us, flip if you will, if you still got your Bibles open, to Ephesians chapter 3. These are some of the promises that God wants to give you. Chapter 3, verse 11. You start making better decisions. You start walking with God. You start trusting in God. Verse 11 says, according to the eternal purpose, which is God's purpose for your life when you choose Him, according to His eternal purpose, which He has purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access and confidence by faith in Him. Isn't that good? Oh, that is so good. I have confidence because of Jesus Christ. Wherefore, I desire that you faint not at my tribulations for you, which is for your glory. For this cause, I bow my knee unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family of heaven and earth is named, that He would grant to you guys to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened in the might by His Spirit in the inner man. When you start making better choices, you make a choice to walk with God, He'll make you a stronger spiritual person. Amen? He will make you stronger, able to stand up against the wiles of the devil, able to combat the works and the lust of the flesh. But when you choose Him, when you surrender to His power, He grants you all of this stuff. He says, here is my life on you. Grab a hold of it. Because you're walking with me, you're talking with me, and I want the best for your life. Verse 17, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. Oh, Jesus wants to dwell with you. He wants to live in you. He wants to save you. That ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all of the saints, which is the breadth and the length and the depth and the height. I like that, the four sides of something. The cubicle of God. It's not just His height and width. It's not just His depth and His breadth. It is the cube of God, the fullness of His love, that you might be able to comprehend it. But you only start to comprehend it when you walk in the Spirit. See, you don't see these things when you're walking in the flesh because you get so caught up in your own mind. And God's saying, your mind doesn't really matter to my plan. Walk in the Spirit, and I will give you a new mind, the mind which was in Christ Jesus. Then you start having the fullness of God. Oh, the fullness of God is so much better than the fullness of my flesh. Amen. I tell you, it gives you much more. But it is a choice that you make. Because although right now, today, right this past week, I've been walking in the Spirit pretty heavy. Okay? And it doesn't happen every week that way. I'll be honest with you. I'm your pastor. It doesn't work like that all the time. But this week, for whatever reason, God has encouraged me, maybe it's just talking about these scriptures here, to try walking in the Spirit more. Spend a little bit more time in study. Spend a little bit less time on Facebook. Spend a little bit more time in love and compassion and caring for others. And less time about me and my life. And oh, I tell you, folks, there are blessings here. There's a peace in the midst of turmoil. Folks have said things this week that last month would have got me fighting mad, spitting blood. Amen? But God, I chose to walk in the Spirit, and He gave me a peace that went on way on beyond understanding. It's a grace that comes from God, from walking with Him. And verse 19, and to know the love of Christ which passes all understanding, and that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. This comes with walking in the Spirit. This comes with being obedient to the Word. This comes with having nothing to hide from God. When you say, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. What you say, not my will be done, but your will. And all of these things start opening up to you. Now unto Him that is able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all that we ask and think, according to the power that works in us, the power of the Holy Ghost. God wants to give you the fullness of His life, His love, His grace. He wants to give you the fullest, the full power of, I mean, the full power of God. Amen. I want that for you. I want that for me. I want more about Jesus, more about Him, right? I want more of Him. That means I need to choose Him. I need to change my flesh bag for the Spirit bag. I got to start planting different seeds in my life to produce a different crop in my future. I don't know where you are today, but I'm sure you're not where you want to be. Amen? Right? Because I know that I struggle. I know where I am today, and I know that I want to be somewhere different. I want to be closer with Jesus tomorrow than I am today. I want to be so close to Him that people don't see me anymore. Amen? They don't see the old Curtis. I don't want the beast, the sin beast, the flesh that lives in me ever to stick its head back up. I know it will. Okay? But I have power through the Holy Ghost to crush him. All right? I have the power through Jesus Christ to defeat the sinner that lives inside of me. Because God gave us that power. He gave us that power as we surrendered to him. And he wants to do exceedingly, abundantly above all that we can think, according to his power which works in us. Which brings me back to that wonderful scripture from 1 Corinthians 2:9. That no eye hath seen, nor ear hath heard, or mind conceived what God has prepared for them that love him. And I'll use choose there. Has prepared for them that choose him. Will you choose Jesus today? Will you stop being mad at your loved one? Will you stop being mad at your neighbor? Stop gossiping about them and start loving them? And these are choices you got to make. Nobody makes you mad at someone else. You know that? You can't make me mad at you no matter what you do. I might get mad at you, but that's not because of what you did. I normally get mad at people because they don't reach my expectations of them. Okay? That's why anybody gets mad at somebody else is you're not... I see better things in you. You're not making it. Makes me mad. Who here has kids ever went to school? All right? When they brought home bad grades, that just made you so proud. Right? No, right? Why? Because you knew that they could do better. Right? Yeah. I was a D student on my good days. I was a D student. Really and truly, on the years that I went to school, which were many, but I didn't achieve many grades, I never, ever passed one single test in school, ever. Not a math test, not a spelling test, not a reading. I never, ever made over a D. I never made like a C or a B or an A. I truly was a D student. And on a good, most of my grades were, they spelt my name, Fitz, F-I-T-T-S, right? And so I'm not saying that for any particular reason, except God. God can do great things through broken vessels if we choose to walk in the Spirit, if we choose Christ. Instead of leaning on where the enemy had defeated me for years and years and years, lean on the possibility that Christ can do great things if we'll just walk with him. If we'll choose him instead of the world, he'll give us an abundant life. And folks, I want to tell you, I am living the fat life. Look. I am living the high life. I really am. I might not have two quarters to rub together in my personal pocket, but I tell you what, God is good. I have more love today than I've ever had in my life. Right? I was brought up by wolves. I don't mean out in the forest, two-legged wolves. All right? I was brought up in a very weird kind of thing, but God. When I decided not to blame my past for my future and to change my seed bag to choose the Spirit and not the result of my past or the flesh that was living in me and choose Jesus Christ, he changed me from a bum, loser, drunken, drug addict, woman abuser to a preacher of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And it all started when I changed the seed, when I chose Christ. When I started making choices based on the word and the power and the gospel of Jesus. And he wants that for you. Oh, to know the depth and the breadth and the height of his love. To that love that passes all knowledge, that you might fulfill what you're called to in the fullness of God. I know that you want that. I know you want it. I know you want it because I know that you trusted Jesus Christ and he put his Spirit in you. And the Spirit of God is inside of you, cheering you on, egging you on to do the right thing every day. never say that you were tempted to do evil by God. God was never tempted by evil, and he would never tempt anyone with evil. He might put you through some hard times to make you face him. Amen. When you run, if you're a child of God, you're running from God, fulfilling the lust of the flesh, and not walking in the power of the Spirit. Guess what God does? He chastens you. He brings you to the woodshed. I don't know, some of y'all remember what spankings are all about, right? I know nowadays that, you know, we can't spank our kids. Well, no, well, that's why we got kids doing what they're doing today. But anyhow, the Bible says if you love your son, you chasten him, you discipline him promptly. All right. If you don't discipline him promptly, you don't love your kid. That's Bible right there. If you love the father who loves the son disciplines them promptly. The father who hates his child spares the rod. That's the quote from Proverbs. Okay, so God loves you. You know that? And when you start doing what your flesh wants to do, guess what he does? He disciplines you. He gives you what you want. See, we think we want what the flesh has to offer, and God says, no, don't do it, don't do it. I love you, don't do it, don't do it, don't do it. And you do it anyhow. And he says, all right, you decided to do it. Guess what you're going to have? You're going to have grandkids that don't understand why your name isn't their name. You're going to have a life of hurt. Although I love you, the scars of the seed that you planted, you're going to reap for the rest of your life. Phelan robs a bank, goes to jail, trusts Jesus Christ in jail. He's forgiven of that, all right? But he's still got 20 years to pull. He broke the law. He's got to reap what he sowed. Now, if he really trusted Jesus Christ, after he finished the 20 years in prison that he had to do because he robbed the bank, when he comes out of jail, he starts making godly choices. Hopefully he makes godly choices in prison. But then when he comes out into the real world again 20 years later, you start making godly choices. You start walking in the Spirit. And God will take where the cankerworm had robbed, and he'll replace that with a fervent and viable body for Christ. I know a lot of folks who are criminals became pastors. They're good pastors because they know what it's like on the other side of the fence. You know, it's not good. Nothing good grows outside of the love and the power of Christ. Jesus said in John 17, I love Jesus. I love what he tells us in his word. 17:2-3. Jesus praying to his heavenly Father, as thou hast given. All right, Jesus talking to God. Father, you have given me your son, as thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he shall give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. Jesus talking to the Father, my job, Dad, is to give eternal life to whoever you've called. Whoever comes to me can have eternal life freely. Whoever answers the call of the Holy Spirit. When the Father calls you and you say, yes, Lord, I want that. I want you. I decide not my flesh anymore. I'm a sinner. I can't be right without you. I accept you. Jesus says, I will preserve that man. I will preserve that person. I love them all, but those who answer the call, I will give them the right to be called the children of the Most High God. Do you want that? I mean, yeah, I hope you want it enough to walk in the Spirit and not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Because remember what it said in Galatians chapter 5? It gives you the list of the flesh, and he says, whoever does these things will not inherit the kingdom of God. What did he say? If you choose the world over God, then you've made the bad choice. And as long as you have breath in you, there's this wonderful word in the Bible called repent. As long as you have breath and you listen to what the Spirit says, if you repent and come back, God will forgive you. But that repentance means change. It means a turning. It means I don't want the works of the flesh to rule my life anymore. Anyone who practices the adultery, the fornication, the witchcraft, the covetousness, the lewdness, if you practice that stuff, God says you have no inheritance in the kingdom. So it's a choice. What are you practicing? Are you practicing love, joy, peace, patience, the gifts of the Holy Spirit? Are you practicing those things? It takes work to love people. You know, that's not an easy thing to do. When they don't like you, it takes work to love them. When you feel miserable, who woke up miserable today? Amen. I see you, sister. I see you, brother. Right. Right? I woke up this morning at 4 o'clock, and I did not want to come here. I didn't want to come here today. I didn't want to. So at 5 o'clock, I rolled out of bed, right, and put on my clothes, and I came to church. Didn't want to. I said, if somebody doesn't preach, it's going to be pretty boring. So anyhow, so I came, and I spent some time in prayer. I confess that to the Lord, and he actually changed this message this morning. And he said, Curtis, they need to know that I love them. You need to know that God loves you, and he wants you to walk in the Spirit. He wants you to choose life more abundant. The abundant life of Jesus Christ is free for the taking, but you got to take it. Amen? You've got to want it bad enough to reach out and pull that fruit of the Spirit into your life. And, you know, you only have so much room in you, right? You don't have enough room to hate your neighbor and love God at the same time. It tells us that in 1 John. Those who say that they love God and they hate their neighbor, they're a liar. That's what God says. That's what John, the beloved apostle, said. So choose God. Choose Christ. Walk in his righteousness. Colossians chapter 3, and I'll close with in Colossians. Colossians chapter 3, excuse me, so it's 3 and 2. 2:20, wherefore, if you be dead with Christ from the rudiments of the world, why as though you are living in the world? All right, if you're really born again, you're supposed to be dead to the world system. So why are you living in it? It's time to make a choice to walk with Jesus. Romans 2:12, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Walk in the Spirit, not in the flesh, is the call from God over and over. Colossians 3:2-4 says, if then you be risen with Christ, if you are born again, risen with Christ, are you there? You can say amen. It's all right. I know it's late. I've kept you 5 minutes longer than what I probably should have. That's okay. You'll get over it. All right. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on the things above, not on the things of the earth. For if you are dead and your life is hidden Christ in God, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then ye shall also appear with him in glory. Do you see the choice there? If you choose Christ, then you have glory in Christ. If you choose not to walk in the rudiment things of this world, and you choose to walk in the Spirit, then you will be hid inside of Christ. But this is your choice. God is not forcing you to do this. He's giving out a choice. Choose, I lay out before you today, life and death. I pray that you'll choose life. If you walk in the flesh, you're going to die. If you live in the rudiments of this world, you're going to die an eternal death, completely and totally separated from God, from the Lord Christ Jesus. Oh, but if you walk in the Spirit and you allow the Spirit to produce fruit in you that only can come from Him through your obedience to the Word, then He makes you we just studied this. Hold on, I'm going to bring you Sunday school. Y'all who don't come to Sunday school, this is what you missed this morning. Exodus Oh, I got to go back further. I'm in the prophets. Exodus 19, Genesis. That's why I got two Bibles. I got my Sunday school Bible. I got this one. Exodus. Just bear with me. I told you I'd quit, and I ain't quit yet. It's towards the end of the chapter of 19. Yada, 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 Moses. Oh, come on. A peculiar people. Where is that, folks? We just went over. Five? Okay, so no wonder I missed it. Yeah, it was in the beginning, not the end. Now, therefore, if you obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then you shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all peoples of the earth is mine. And you shall be unto me a kingdom of priests, a holy nation. And are the words which thou shalt speak, and these are the words that you should speak to the children of Israel. God speaking to Moses is saying, listen, Mo, listen, God, tell this to the people. If they choose me, then I will bless them. I will make them a people beloved, all the other people. The folks who don't choose me, the ones who choose me, I'm going to love more. That's what God is saying right here. They will be my treasure. See, if you don't trust Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you're not His treasure, and you will not be welcome into the kingdom of heaven. Simple, isn't it? Choose the Spirit, not the flesh. I could keep on talking. I'm preparing for Kenya. Can you tell? I could just keep. This is such a good thing. And I pray that you're gathering it up in your heart and your mind that God wants you to choose Him. He wants you to have the fullness of the love and the grace and the power that He has provided for you through Calvary. He wants you to walk in the Spirit and not fulfill the lust of the flesh. But you've got to choose Him. He chose you. Jesus came to die for the sins of how many? All of us. He came to seek that which was lost. And if we will choose Him, if we will say, yes, God, I want to be on your side, oh, the blessings and the power and the majesty and the peace and joy and love and gentleness and meekness and temperance, all those things will be added to you. And I'm looking out there and I can see y'all need some of all, we all need more of it. So anyhow. Like I said, I could preach on. I love you, and I want God's fullness in your life. Amen? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I pray that even now, Lord God, that you would work in us, in this body. Make us a peculiar people. Father, help us to be set apart. Lord, help us to deny our flesh and walk in the Spirit. Help us, Father God, because we cannot do it ourselves. Lord, but if you give us the power, if you call us, if you teach us, Lord, we can do the impossible. Father, with us it is impossible, but with you all things are possible. So, Lord, we come before you even now praying that our flesh would die and our spirit would live and grow and in the grace and the might of the Lord God. I pray, Lord Jesus, that you would move in this congregation and help us to choose you. Show us the difference between light and darkness. Show us the difference between hot and cold. Show us the difference between the Spirit and the flesh. And Father, increase your Holy Spirit in us to choose Jesus over all the other things. And we thank you and we praise you for that. In the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, amen. Amen.